could get awkward. Wait.
Those are.
Wait, did you?
Sure. This could get.
Oh, I did it wrong already.
No, it sounds stupid.
Are you ready?
This could get awkward.
I think that was perfect.
So since about June, for the last 6 or 7 months, Spencer and I had kind of been doing the keto diet.
Super popular right now. I mean, yeah, everyone's doing it.
It's all the rage. And it basically means that you're eliminating carbs and sugars and eating most of your diet is fat. And it's actually really hard to do it properly. So we've kind of been doing it modified 80% of the time and then the other 20% of the time still eating, mowing those carbs and sugar. But there's a few people at my job who are either very interested in knowing about the diet or they're also doing it themselves. So I don't want to be one of those people. Here I am, like, a podcast episode about it, but I don't want to be one of those people who's only talking about my diet all the time.
But give us your 2 cents on your experience so far, and would you recommend it, and just, like, that in general.
Okay, so the way that we've been doing it, the popular terms are dirty and lazy. So dirty because we're not paying attention to, I don't know, the like hardcore specifics of it. Lazy because we're not doing it 100% of the time. Dirty because we're not paying so close attention. So for example, at first we would say, oh, we can't get this brand of tomato paste because look at the sugar it has in it. But then it kind of got to a point where, you know what, it's fucking tomato paste. It's not a bag of rice, so I'm going to eat it. So it was kind of, as they call it, lazy, dirty keto. I felt awesome while we were doing it. I have lost 20 pounds, so that's kind of cool too. And felt really good, high energy, whatever. Just felt nice. But there isn't, and I'm sure there's going to be varying opinions on this, but there isn't a ton of science or research into the long-term effects of this diet. And most doctors, to my knowledge, do not advocate for it. A lot of nutritionists do not advocate for it. It seems to be mostly driven by participants of it. Just look at how much weight I've lost and therefore it's fantastic and healthy for you, kind of.
Yeah, I would say 95% of the people I know who have tried it have been successful in losing weight, at least.
Yeah. So that's all well and good, and we have enjoyed ourselves. So at work, it comes up often, especially with the two other people who kind of are doing the diet as well, and then this other person who just is very, seems, I'm not sure why, but invested in my experience with it. And so therefore, anytime I eat lunch at work, so either I bring my lunch or I get lunch there, there's always eyes on my plate, like, what are you eating? And is that keto friendly? And blah, 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 blah. And at first I was, okay, yeah, it is. And blah, blah, blah. And then it got to the point where someone in particular keeps commenting on my weight, which is fine because she says things like, you look great and you're disappearing. But then I'm also, I'd prefer no one to comment on my weight because that's not why I'm doing anything. And what happens when I gain it back? Or one time she literally came up to me and grabbed me around the waist.
Oh.
And was like, where are you going? You're so skinny. And I was like, okay, maybe don't touch me like that.
That's incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so it's nice. It's on one hand, it's nice that people are trying to be supportive of it and everything. But on the other hand, I'm kind of fuck off. Mind your business. I don't start conversations with you about it. I only talk about it because you ask me invasive questions about my diet and my body and shape and stuff.
And if people are constantly looking at your meal and asking if it's keto friendly, there's a whole other guilt factor that goes
totally.
To that.
Totally. That's the other thing. So we had our big work party a few weeks ago, and obviously I'm not paying attention to my diet that night. I was so looking forward to there being a pierogi station. And so I hit that pierogi station real hard. Pierogies were 3/4 of my plate. And I love pierogies. And I was planning on going to town, which I did. I walked past someone with my plate and he goes, are those keto pierogies? And I was like, fuck off. Like, can I live? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I just want to eat. I don't need your judgments over like every choice that I make meal wise. And it just made me feel angry.
Mm-hmm. No, I've dealt with somewhat of a bit of a similar situation in the fact that I've always felt like my mom has, and I think she has kind intentions, mm-hmm. but it's gotten to the point, and I mean, I don't think it has happened in the last couple of years, but it was getting to the point where every single time I would go home and see my family, which would probably at that time in my life, you know, every 2 to 4 weeks, mm-hmm. my mom would say to me, "You look like you're gaining weight. You look like you're gaining weight." Aww. Like every single time. And I just got to the point, and she was always wondering what I was eating and all of this kind of thing. And my weight as an adult has probably fluctuated within 20 pounds or something. Mm-hmm. You know, at my heaviest, I was what at this weight, and at my lightest as an adult, it's like a 20-pound span maybe. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that would be definitely noticeable on my body. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I know if I'm a little heavier than I have been. And I don't, at the moment, I don't think I want you to say anything about it. Yeah. And it was so discouraging. And I got to the point, I was like, "Mom, can you just not say anything about the way I look?" Mm-hmm. You say this every single time, and you know what? I haven't gained any weight or whatever it was. So it hasn't happened in probably a couple of years, but it was a constant struggle for a while. And I don't know if it's the fact that she, I think, maybe struggles with her own personal body image. Mm-hmm. She was incredibly thin, and not that she's overweight now, but she was, you know, 100 pounds when she was my age. And got pregnant and went through all of her pregnancies and was incredibly thin. And, you know, after every child, dropped all of the weight. And now she's the heaviest she's ever been in her life because your metabolism slows down when you get older. She's not nearly as active as she was, you know.
Yeah.
And by no means is she overweight or unhealthy. She's still incredibly active. And she's so judgmental about her own body that it was almost like she was projecting it on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really uncomfortable thing when people are doing that.
Comment on your weight. Either way, like, you've lost weight or you've gained weight. Either way, shut up. Fuck off.
And sometimes it is coming from a good place, but yeah.
Just tell a person you look great, mm-hmm. or don't. That's a nice outfit or whatever. Like, there are ways to say that you think someone looks great or in a way that, you know, is positive and non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. The other day, I planned to go into work a little bit later, but I got up at the same time, so I had time to kind of curl my hair, and I put a little extra effort into my appearance that day. By like 5 minutes. But I got to work and I was feeling great. And a couple people were like, "You look so nice today." And I was like, "It's because I curled my hair." And then so I'm feeling great. And I go upstairs and I walk past a group of people. And one of them goes, "You look tired." And I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? I look tired?" Here I was thinking, I'm looking great today, feeling awesome, not tired at all. I was like, that was super rude. And then I just kind of made a joke out of it, but I said that was super rude. And then later he called me and he's like, "Are you still mad at me? I'm so sorry." And I was like, "It's fine. At least you're acknowledging that was an asshole thing to say."
Yeah.
It's never a compliment. It never comes off kindly to tell someone that they look tired.
But it also just goes to show you that people's perceptions are so varied. You had multiple people tell you that you looked so great that day, and then one person told you that you looked tired.
Okay, way to getting pumped up and a way to bring me back down to earth is kind of funny. But Spencer and I have broken up with keto. We are not doing it anymore.
Mm. And what are the reasons for that?
The new Canada Food Guide.
Really?
For real.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we're still eliminating processed sugars for sure. And we're not going to be eating a crap ton of carbs. It's not all bets are off. We're just going unchecked or anything. But we are still eliminating sugar. And when it comes to carbs, we're going for the whole grain type of things mm-hmm. that are high protein and high fiber.
Maybe we should break down the new Canadian food guide that just came out for anybody who's a little bit unaware.
I'll describe the plate. So Canada's Food Guide is like a picture of a plate and it's divided into the portions you should have and whatever. So they just updated this and half of the plate is fruit and vegetables. Spencer and I are very excited about this because we have not been able to eat fruit.
Yeah.
On keto, you can't even have fruit because it's sugar. Even though it's naturally it's natural sugar, you can't eat it. So half the plate is fruit and vegetables. So that's awesome. A quarter of the plate is proteins and fat.
Proteins are in the new food guide. It makes it look like proteins all come from lentils and plant-based protein.
Well, so they're encouraging more plant-based fats and proteins. Mm-hmm. And definitely less red meat. So that's the other thing is we're trying to have less red meat. And then, okay, so it's half fruits and veggies, a quarter fats and proteins that are mostly plant-based, and then a quarter whole grains. So, like, things that have whole grains in them.
Like oatmeal and breads
rice. And quinoa and whole grain brown rice and that sort of thing. And then water as the drink. Saying like, you know, replace your sugary drinks with water and that sort of thing.
And I would say that they're generally saying don't have dairy.
Are they?
There's not really dairy on that plate. There's a small little bit of yogurt. And I'm like, what? I can't eat my cheese? I'm going to eat my cheese.
Well, I want some cheese. So I don't, that's not what my plate looks like by any means. It's definitely half whole grains and half fat and protein. So we still have some adjustments to make. But we're very excited to be able to eat fruit and quinoa and beans and chickpeas again. So
yeah, because those are loaded with carbs, though. So
they are.
The new proteins are also going to be loaded with carbs. So yeah, you cannot do keto.
Yeah, so the other thing that we have to now consider, because when we were doing keto, I did not give a shit about how many calories I was eating. I did not care. But now that we have introduced these heavier foods back into our diet, I probably pay a little bit more attention to that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. My eye is on my wedding in what, like 6 months? So whatever. I just want to look good in my wedding dress. But I said that to my sister the other day, and she was like, you would look good in your wedding dress now anyways, so.
For sure. But are you worried about.
Just keep it together.
Are you worried about fitting into it? Because I know brides who will, they'll go and not at dress all. And get a size smaller because they're like, I'm going to lose weight or.
My dress fit me perfectly, and that was 15 pounds ago.
Oh, so you're going to need to get it taken in.
I think it'll just probably fit me like very comfortably. Mm-hmm. I don't need to gain anymore. I don't need to lose anymore. Like if I can just hang out here, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of food and diets, you had a story to share about a recent restaurant experience?
Yeah, it was a recent restaurant experience. Adam's cousin came. She was in town for work, so we got together with her to go out for dinner. And because we're new to the city, we didn't really know where to suggest to go out for food, but she comes to the city, you know, fairly regularly, that she had coworkers that she could ask, hey, what are a few good restaurants to go to? Mm-hmm. So this was a suggestion from one of her coworkers for us to go to this restaurant that was fairly close to where we lived. So anyways, we take this suggestion and the first alarm bell is we walk in and the place is empty. And I don't know why, if that was because it was like a snowstorm or it was like kind of cold evening, because we were definitely there at dinner time and no one was there.
Okay.
And we go and we sit down and the waitress comes over. She's just like, oh, I'll be right back with your menus. She comes back and because she had filled up our waters. And then she basically never came back.
Not even with your menus?
No, and we're sitting there waiting. It's like, we can't even do anything until you give us our menus. And then once you give us our menus, we're going to need another 5 to 10 minutes to figure out what we want to order and blah, 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 blah. And she's just sitting behind the bar talking to these two guys who are sitting at the bar, and she's just yakking away with them. And finally, we realized that the menus are, we found menus on other tables. So we went and we grabbed those menus. And then we start looking through the list, and to be honest, I wasn't that impressed by the menu list. For one, there were beers that were $26 a glass.
What?
Yeah. I was like,
holy.
Where are the $7 beers? We finally found a few. And the food menu wasn't, it didn't look that great. And Adam had looked it up online and he said it sounded good. So I don't know if it was different than.
Damn it, Adam.
What we saw there. Finally, she comes back over, takes our drink order. At this point, Adam's already ordering two beers at once because he knows that she's going to be a shitty waitress. And so he does that. And we, I believe, ordered our food at that point too. And then it just, it was very strange because the food took forever for it to come out. And nobody was there. She barely came back to say, like, okay, how's your dinner? Do you guys need anything? I was unimpressed with the portion sizes for the cost of everything. And my meal wasn't even that great. And then this is the best part. So his cousin wanted to order dessert. And she asked to get the menu back. And she handed her a menu. And she's looking through. And she never comes back. It's 10 to 15 minutes later. You know somebody wants to order something if they ask for a menu.
Yeah.
And we just see her at the bar talking to the only two other people in the restaurant. And she literally had to flag her down to be like, hey, come over. I want to order something. And she goes and she orders dessert. And then she goes, oh, sorry, the kitchen's closed.
What the fuck?
Right?
Then why did she give you a menu? Man, what an idiot.
Yeah. So she does end up going back. Guy in the kitchen says he'll do the dessert. It was like a pie or something. It wasn't like, I mean, dessert's easy. It's probably already made and everything.
Yeah.
So she gets her dessert and whatever. We get our bills. And I don't know if we were kind of just being dicks. She was clearly cleaning up and wanted to get us out of there. But we kind of took our sweet ass time.
Well, she wasn't in a rush to help you out.
Yeah. And the conversation of whether or not we should tip her or tip her well came up.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam was very adamant that she deserves next to no tip. And his cousin, who actually paid for the entire meal, which was very, very nice of her, she said, I can't not tip 15%. Is just the way she felt about it. If somebody does above and beyond, I'll tip them more. And Adam's like, no way. I've tipped 30 cents before. Because
the person was damn it, Adam.
So it was just kind of an interesting conversation. I don't know if you feel the same way about tipping your server if the service is really bad or.
I think the lowest I'd tip, even if it was really shitty service, is 10%.
Yeah, me too.
If the service blew my mind how incredible the service was, if it came with a neck rub, a consensual neck rub, then I would tip like 25%.
I don't think I've ever tipped more than 20%.
Yeah, I don't know if I have either.
Yeah, I'm pretty much standard, Kate, 10%. Or sorry,
15%. 15 to 20. I always tip my hairdresser or masseuse or something like that. I'll usually do 20-25%.
Mm-hmm. Only when they do a good job and they don't screw up your hair like they did that one time.
Oh my god, that was so terrible. So I'll just briefly explain. So I usually don't do anything with my hair. I just keep it its natural color. But I, for some reason, got really into the idea of balayage, which is where they add color. It's supposed to look super natural, but add some light and dimension and new colors to your hair. So I thought about this for about a year, researched it. I went 6 months prior to the actual appointment to have a consultation about it. And I was taking this very seriously. I do not make snap decisions.
Well, it's expensive.
And it's expensive. And so I went for my appointment. She fucked it up so bad. I didn't know she was about to declare that she was done. Because I saw I could see myself in the mirror. I knew it was not even close to what we had talked about, to the pictures that we had talked about that morning, to anything that we had discussed. She basically turned me platinum blonde.
Yeah, I was bad.
I have dark brunette hair, and all I wanted was to add basically highlights.
At the bottom.
And she turned me like platinum blonde. We're done. And I was like, okay, so hate to do this, but this isn't at all what we talked about. I'm not going to leave here until you fix it. So fix it. And she did. And that was super uncomfortable because she was all like tense and clearly frustrated. And I was like, I feel bad about making you do this again. But at the same time, do your fucking job that we talked about 6 months ago and today for hours. And so
it's amazing that she was able to get you in that same day because you had already sat in the chair for probably at least 3 hours at that point.
I was there. It, like when all was said and done, I was there from the moment they opened to the moment they closed. I was there for about 7 or 8 hours. And in the end, my hair looked exactly the same as it did when I got there because she then went, she went so far in one direction and then she went so far back the other direction that I basically left having spent 8 hours there, almost $400, and left looking the exact same. And then 3 months later, people were like, did you get your hair lightened?
Because like, yeah. It was washing out.
It's washing out, so it's now showing up.
Honestly, the day that I walked into your office and you asked me, so, like, what do you think? It took everything in me to look for a few little tiny highlights that I could even notice that it looked different. It broke my heart to tell you it... Yeah.
Thank you for lying to me.
We could wrap it there. Do you want to do that cheese story?
Yeah, sure. I'll quickly mention my cheese story that I wanted to talk about for some reason. So Spencer and I have been watching 30 Rock from the beginning, and there was an episode that we watched yesterday where Liz Lemon, who's played by Tina Fey, is at home in one of those snuggy blankets.
Mm-hmm.
And she's singing a song. She's like home alone on her couch in her snuggie and she's working on my night cheese. And she's just eating a block of cheese. And it made me laugh so hard. And it reminded me of many years ago when I was a nanny for a year. And when I first started working for this family, they said, help yourself to anything you want in the fridge, make yourself at home, obviously eat your lunch here and everything. So I loved it. I would put the 2-year-old down for his nap and I would make myself an amazing sandwich or soup and it always involved cheese and they had the best cheese. And so a few months into me working there, the dad comes home with groceries one day. Hey Sam, come here, I need to talk to you for a minute.
Oh gosh.
And I was like, okay. And he's unpacking the groceries and he's like, okay, this is your cheese. And he had bought like a way cheaper, smaller amount of cheese. This is your cheese and you have to ration it. Oh. You keep eating all of our expensive cheese. That block of cheese is $20 and you ate it all. So they gave me like a cheese ration because of my cheese eating. So that was one of the funnier moments in my life. And he was so nice about it, but it was so embarrassing and hilarious at the same time.
Cheese is so good though.
It's so good. And they did have good cheese. It makes sense that it was so expensive. They're a good family to work for. One time, just because we're talking about it, we've been putting more effort into theming each episode and trying to make them a little more cohesive. And we're going off the rails right now. And I apologize for that. But one time, I wrecked their car really bad.
Sam, how did you even still have a job with these people? What?
I was cheap as fuck. No, I didn't. I was very cheap. And the dad worked. I was super cheap because I had no experience. And I was desperate for work, which is why I became a nanny for this 1 year.
I love that people are like, oh, you've never done this before? Come, take care of our children.
The only reason they were cool with it is because the dad actually worked from home. Oh. So he was always, for the most part, he was always just in his basement home office. So if anything ever really happened or anything, he was around. So, but one time it was a PD day. And so typically I would just bike everywhere and put the 2-year-olds on the back of the bike and we would motor around and just hang out with each other. He was the best. But it was a PD day, so it was him and his sister, who was a little older, and because we didn't spend as much time together, she wasn't as comfortable with me, which is irrelevant to the story, so I don't know why I said that. But anyways, it was a PD day, and I took them both to the museum, and for whatever reason, I think probably because it's too heavy to carry both of them, I drove their car that day, and it's very close in proximity. And I was driving home and it was icy and snowy and there were huge ice banks on either side of the driveway. And while I had been gone, someone had came and taken the garbage, and the bins were kind of not neatly tucked to the side. They were kind of in the way a little bit. So I knew I had room to get around them. So in my mind, I'm going, don't hit the bins, but instead I hit the ice bank. And I just heard this, like,
which is way worse.
Yeah.
Because they were probably plastic.
Like, yeah. Like, huge sound. And I was like, oh God. But I was going so slowly that the kids didn't even notice. Everyone was totally fine. And so I park, I get the kids out of the car, in the house, settled, playing and stuff. And then I go look at the car. Well, that's brutal. I had mangled the front, the very edge of the front bumper and also the fender. So I went down to the basement. Hey, everyone's fine. We're all safe. But I damaged your car a little bit and you might want to come look at it. And again, so nice to me. He came upstairs. I was watching him from the window and he had his hands on his hips and he was looking at his car, defeated.
Oh my.
But not really angry. And then he came in and he made a joke about it because he could tell I felt terrible.
Yeah.
And I was scared. Like, I was shaking and I was so scared and I felt so bad. And so he was very nice about it. And then when the mom came home, I was, hey, and did he happen to tell you? And she's like, yeah, he told me. And don't worry about it. It's okay. And I was like, okay, the nicest family ever.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they were very, very cool to work for.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I probably would have fired you. Well, maybe that wrongful grounds to dismiss somebody, but I would have found a way.
I don't know.
Or made you pay for it. It's coming out of your cheese ration.
You know what? At the end of the day, they got what they paid for.
A blind driver driving their children, being
with
their
no
nanny.
Experience.
No, a blind, experienceless nanny.
Sure, I'll take care of your kids. I did a pretty good job, for real. Just saying, like, the one of those kids loved me.
All right. Do we have a question to ask this week? Too many things happened.
Yeah, we were a little bit too scattered.
Let's just wrap it up.
Okay.
So if you do want to just connect with us anyway, we have a couple of ways to do so. You can get on our Twitter at TCGA Podcast, or you could get on our Facebook, which is This Could Get Awkward, or email us, thiscouldgetawkwardpodcast@gmail.com.
Have a lovely day and week in life.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.